What did he die of?
Being alive for 95 years. It's 3 minutes at 18. Was that just a setup?
It was.
Were you legitimately curious, or were you just setting it up so I could knock it down right
Everything
there?
Is a setup.
That was the alley to my oop. Well done. To my roll. Okay. The hair to my dresser. It's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour 11, and this is the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly... I'm sorry. My microphone cord has gone all askew. The thing... Hold on a second. The love of... All right. It's like people coming here late at night and disassemble parts of the studio just to screw with us the
and
next day.
And drink all of our Coffee Mate.
And drink all of our Coffee Mate. I'm looking in your direction, whoever it is you are. The Coffee Mate was gone. Let me ask you another question. Is there really any need... I don't know how it is where you work. I don't know if it's difficult where you are. But here, I've got the computer keyboard. I got the mouse. I mean, we have a few pieces of equipment here that are probably not like what you have. Like I've said, we talked in the past. I don't really have a telephone. It's not a telephone like you humans have. It's like a box. It just looks like a... I don't even know how to describe it. My telephone looks like a big sort of remote control from 1960, sort of. That's kind of it. But it doesn't have like a handset or anything. But everything else is just typical office crap. Like the computer I got, typical office computer. But it may be this way if you work at some sort of a huge international oligarchy or a word like that.
Oligarchy? Am I thinking of the Olive Garden?
Am I trying to say oligopoly? Am I trying to say words that don't, in fact, exist?
Perhaps so.
Has Rick Emerson gone too far? In any event, but the engineers do that thing to be clever, and by clever I mean difficult, where they will take the actual tower, you know, the actual hard drive where you would put in the disk or where the on button to your computer is, and that's like in another room down the hall where you can't actually get to it, you can't adjust it, and in my case. So I've got a monitor up here, I've got the keyboard, I've got the mouse, and the actual computer is down here in a cupboard. And it's put in cleverly, and by cleverly I mean badly. And by badly I mean that it's put in so that the on button, the power button, the reset button, the place where you put in the CD-ROM, the place where you put in a floppy disk if you still have any need to use those kind of things, that part is facing away from me and facing the inside of the cupboard. Where it is then covered by coils and coils and pounds and racks of electronic cabling. So you can't actually reach that part or adjust it or do anything with it. One must almost admire the perversity of design because it really is like they sat down and consciously decided to make it that way. It's like they said, what is the least convenient way in which this could all be, as Scotty J might say, orientated? And the way that they found is just to take the actual computer tower... and to angle it way, way, way in the back. And even if you can wrap your arm around to get to where the on button is, you can't really find the on button. Because here's another thing. By dint of the computer being arranged this way, know this. I've never actually seen the front of the computer. I don't know where the on button is. And so it's just a lot of scrabbling around like sort of a monkey at the primate house trying to find the zoo when the keeper's out of the room. I'm just trying to find the key. Every time I have to adjust something. Now, none of this would be an issue if the computer was just, you know, left alone. What makes this even more interesting, perhaps only to me, but that's what matters, is that no one else uses, to the best of my knowledge, no one else uses this computer all day. Because we get off the air, and there's a guy who named James who comes in, and he runs it, and sometimes it's a guy named Chris, but there's a guy who comes in, sits there, runs a Tom Leica show, and just sort of, but it sits where Sarah sits. No one sits where Tim sits. No one uses this computer where I am. And yet I come in here, and I would guess probably 3 out of the 5 days in the work week, this computer is turned off. Now, as I understand it, computers aren't really supposed to be turned off anyway unless you're going to be gone for 6 months. You know, unless you're going to be taking it on the lam somewhere. You're not going to be in town.
What about a laptop? Wouldn't that overheat if not turned off?
If only I were... Perhaps, but this is not a laptop.
Oh, that's true.
Is it, Mr. Smarty Newsman?
Well, nobody disturbs my things because I just have a counter here, which is useful for like a picnic.
That's all they do with yours is they cover it with grease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's bad too.
Cover it with retirement grease. That's all it is. Yours just gets covered with bits of dead animal that Kalijah just cooked up between buns. Hey, speaking of which, he did that thing again this weekend of infusing the bun with gravy at the, I think. And other than that, either that or it was just lard. Either it was just like a bucket full of cow-flavored grease at Aaron's Drunken Commentary. My point is, so I come in here, and the computer is turned off. And then I got to reach around inside like I'm in Papillon, trying to find the key that somebody has left in the hallway. Whatever. So that Jetsons thing that we just played at the top, that was really just... my mom would say, by the skin of my teeth, did I get that done. And so even now as we speak, if I sound just the eensiest bit distracted, it's because I'm trying to load up all of the many programs
that
we need.
I'm just surprised you didn't realize your computer was off until 2 minutes before the show started.
Well, because...
Usually you're in here fickling around, getting everything all ready.
I'm running a little late today, but not only that, here's another thing.
And you're wearing a beige shirt.
I am wearing it. This is my... Now, this joke is only funny to people who work at CBS. This is my Stan Mac disguise trick. This is Stan Mack is one of the fine executives, the general manager of K-Hits and of Kink FM. It's a company so massive we need multiple GMs. We have Jimi, we have general manager I. We have more than one. But Stan, this is kind of how Stan dresses. Stan always looks as though he's on his way to some sort of like a laid back like garden party somewhere. It's really only funny if you work here, but that's kind of who I'm dressed as today. Stan Mack, by the way, not to, as they say, tell tales out of school, which is a phrase I've latched onto a lot this week. Stan Mack is, I think, like if you didn't know better, and I don't say this as a criticism, I wish I could be this way. Stan Mack, if you did not know differently, you would swear that he was heavily sedated a lot of the time because he's just so mellow. Like, nothing rattles that guy. And radio is a stressful business. Rated now more than ever. Radio is a stress-inducing line of work. It can make you feel a little unnerved. Even when you have a job, like we do, at any given moment I'm unnerved. I was, at any given second, all of us here just living on the knife edge of mental collapse. Not Stan Mack. Stan Mack just walks around just like, externally anyway, on just some pink fluffy cloud of just contentment. Even when he is confronted with just the most insane and bizarre circumstance. This is a true story. Stan Mack comes up to me in the hallway the other day. I'm standing in the kitchen, and I'm making a cup of coffee, and Stan Mack comes up and he says, Rick, did I hear you talking about a clown who was engaged in some kind of cannibalism last week while attending a children's birthday party? And you never really know how to answer that question because we do engage. Some of our news stories are a little unconventional. And I said, after just a moment, at that point, you just figure there's no point in lying, you know? And I said, yes, I believe we did have that story, Stan. It's all very interesting. And he said, that is good stuff. You keep up with that. And then he just walked away. It was fantastic. just walking on as though he was in. I'm not saying he is in some kind of Vicodin-induced haze. I'm saying it is as though he exudes some sort of natural sedative in his body to where he is just completely rattle-free. He cannot be unnerved. Anyway, so that's who I'm dressed as today. You're asking. This is my Stan Mack disguise kit. That was fascinating. It's 503-733-2970. Have I even done the intro?
I got to read the whole purple section of the paper.
I've gone through about four celebrity websites.
Well, I was doing that little churn.
Well, I was talking about Stan Mack, a person who was known to half of 1% of our audience.
I'm sure he appreciates the mention.
Shut up. Rick, did I hear you doing an impression of me on your radio program today?
Yes, you did, Stan.
Good stuff. Keep it up. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, by God, you can do it. It's honestly just this simple. Kids, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you, and blah, 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 the year of our Lord and the hey. Is this Aaron? I wouldn't know because the screen's blank. There's nothing typed there.
Scotty did bring in some more pumpkin coffee mate today, so we can't fault him.
Exactly.
Well, you can't fault him, but I don't drink that, so I will.
He also, no, he brought you some hand sanitizer.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So he was thinking of you, too.
I should say that it should be typed in the screen, because according to the call screener, the call's been on hold for 9 minutes. Ample time, I would think, to have the information about the call on the screen. Ten minutes. 10 minutes and 5 seconds.
Maybe he's talking to his daughter Constance at school.
Let's pick it up. How do I know? It could be some maniac. Oh, no, it's just...
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No! Aaron Geek in the city, Duran. Hello, sir. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Oh, best day ever. And hello. And...
Hello, Central.
I feel like Lily Tomlin. All right. What, is he doing it on purpose? Sarah?
I don't think so.
All right, I'm going to put it back on hold. Scotty, will you find out what the hell? All right, yeah, place... Scotty, you said on the screen. Place on hold, dot, dot, dot. I don't know. D-N-O. I know. Okay. Let's try... for the love of sweet...
Help me.
That's enough of that. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. I swear to God, if you're screwing with me, I'll find you.
I don't think he is. We'd hear the bus by now.
If Scotty nothing. Is typing in the screen, what the hell? He is there. Promise. All right, hold on.
Let me just...
This is the best show ever.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to...
Scotty J.
Well, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So, thanks for the coffee, mate, Scotty.
Yeah,
thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the call, too.
Smack you.
Now, here's...
First of all, the thing said disconnect. I don't know why. The call screen.
All right.
It was all set.
Now, you're claiming that Aaron is on line one.
I put it on hold.
Aaron?
Put him on hold, right? You put him on hold. I picked it back up. Yeah, I'm here. I'm back. Okay, great. So I put, he's back, right?
I'm going to put line one on hold again. Why don't you go see who's on line? Why don't you check it right over there at Sarah's handset? Let's listen in. Sarah, can you just move
the microphone? My phone doesn't really work very well.
Bottom line, yeah.
Rick Emerson Show. Hey, how's it going? Is this Aaron? Okay, hang on. I'm going to have Rick talk to you.
All right, line one.
Yeah.
Hello, Aaron.
Oh.
It's going to be another one of those days.
I got you, babe. Put on your booties. It's cold out there.
Oh, for the love of sweet Christ.
Okay, no. Go back and pick up the phone. Pick up the phone on the bottom bank.
You can relay the message.
Yeah, no, pick up the phone as though you were going to talk to him. Make sure he's still there. Yeah, pick him up. He's still there? Okay. Hi, Aaron. How are you today? Sarah, can you move your mic over a little bit?
Okay, hold on a second.
Maybe we can put the
mouse. No, just relay the message. How are you?
I'm doing great,
not,
Rick.
No.
Okay. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Then in response, then put the phone up to the microphone.
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. So he's thinking about how he's doing?
Let's start over on this.
I wish
Hi, Aaron,
I was
glad to see a simple solution.
Seriously. Rick, did I hear you were unable to take any phone calls?
Do you have anything to buy, sell, swap, trade?
15 minutes during today's program?
Hey, Aaron, talk.
No, just relay the message for me.
What he said.
I bet he's fine.
Okay, I got
Just
it.
Christ
I
almighty.
I think he's fine.
Ask Aaron how he is.
Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, Rick. How are you?
Ask him what the hell is wrong with his phone that it's always screwing with us.
Why are you always screwing with us? I'm able to talk to you. It might be Rick's line.
It's not... Fine. All right, I'm going to put him back on hold.
Put you on hold. We'll be right back.
I swear to God, I am going to start killing small creatures. Let's see if this line works. Hello, sir. Sarah, I don't mean to insult your intelligence. Is the phone on? Is it the A, B select?
Oh, you want to ask me that again?
Look, don't get all up in my grill. I'm just trying to figure out...
It's on.
The A, B is not to switch to the wrong...
What kind of employee would I be if you've been trying to do this for 17 minutes and I didn't check to see if it was on or not?
What kind of employee comes in and turns off my computer in the middle
of
the night?
I'm not saying
it's you. I'm saying somebody comes in and
steals
turns
the coffee mate.
Seriously.
And I already did the whole technical thing of jamming the buttons in and out.
Did you try kicking it?
No, it's the old dirty pot thing again.
The great part about this is, there's nobody. No, there's nobody there.
All right.
We'll be back on January 2nd with new shows, everybody, live from the studios of WJFK. Where we are the highest priority, technically and otherwise.
The door seems to be closed in engineering.
That's... Really?
I'm amazed. Wait, hold on. Let me look. Well, that's strange. It is 11:20.
Lunch hour comes earlier every day.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to put these calls, and I use the phrase calls loosely.
Maybe we could go to Radio Shack and get one of those rubber things that you put under the phone, plug it in somewhere. It'll cut 99 cents.
Set recorders. All right, well, there you go. Hey, let me just, as a side note, and then you know what? I will speak to myself in Aaron's voice. I will play both parts. I will do the guarantees here at the beginning. I will play both the part of myself and Aaron Geek in the City Duran. And by which I mean, I will just, it's sort of just a bad Frito Bandito voice, but what are you going to do? Just as a side note to that, my grandfather, and I've talked about my grandparents before. My grandmother was a horrible person who God then killed slowly and painfully. My grandfather, a slightly better person, but crazy. And he was one of those Depression era guys, so he was a hoarder. And I've talked about how he hoarded crap. Understand that my...
The porn stash guy?
No. No.
I thought your grandpa had a porn stash.
Well, yeah, but I don't think I've ever talked about it on the air.
Then how do I know about
most
it?
Most grandfathers do.
Most grandfathers do, and most men do, Tate. I don't believe I've ever told the story of my grandparents' porn stash.
Did I, like, secretly crawl into your head?
You really just did. And I just inadvertently revealed something that probably my family doesn't want revealed.
I swear you've talked about your grandfather's big porn stash.
Well, my grandfather had what they used to refer to as girly pinups.
And you'd find it in the basement or something.
Well, he had a stack of Playboys. There was, I mean, that wasn't a porn stash the way that, like, Scotty probably has a porn stash. It was like I would go down to the basement. My grandmother would send me down to fetch, like, a jar of plums or something. And I would go into the basement. My grandfather had a big stack of Playboys. And I'd be like, oh, look, Playboy magazine. And when you're a kid, that's just, like, the most magical thing ever. That is a world apart from the story of my grandparents' unpleasant porn stash. Which we will not tell just now, thanks. We'll save that for closer to Christmas. What I was going to say is, hey, look, the irony here is the hotline's ringing. It might be engineer. I can't speak to them, of course. No, what I was going to say is my grandfather was obsessive. And then my grandparents had been divorced for like 30 years, but he still hoarded things. And when he found something on sale, he would buy it, label it, date it, where he got it, how much he paid for it, when it went bad. And just to, like, literally, like, tampons, razor blades, thousands of bars of soap, just stuff that he would never, never, ever, ever, ever use. And if you know anybody who grew up in the Depression, a lot of them are that way. They started to hoard things. Anyway, but one of the other things he became obsessive about my grandfather in the later years of his life when he was, like, full-on crazy, was taping every one of his ingoing and incoming and outgoing phone calls. And he bought one of those things Tim is talking about. They sold in the 70s. It was a little suction cup. You stuck it on the back of your phone. You plugged it into, like, a regular Radio Shack cassette deck. And you could tape every one of your incoming and outgoing phone calls. And when he died, we just found, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of phone calls. And it's not, like, interesting Watergate stuff. Just, like, the most tedious. So, what are you going to do?
Well, I thought I'd go down to the VFW. Have myself a cool one.
That, like, imagine that for, like, 28 years of your life. Endless grocery bags full of that.
That sounds like something they make an NPR special out of.
Seriously. And then DJ Shadow would sample it, and everybody would buy it. Anyway, well, let me just mention a couple things that we're going to be talking about today. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I'm pretty good again.
Well, that's great, Aaron. So, how's life at the Geek Castle?
Well,
Aaron, your phone sounds a little weird. Why are you always talking so close to the phone?
I know. It's fine.
Okay. Well, where are we at push-up-wise? What is it? One?
One.
And then I say... This is the worst opening segment to a program ever. And then I say, hey, here's what we're going to talk about. We have another sad passing today. Another sad passing. And Roop, I think, is not even available. Is that right?
No, he's sick, and Brian Blank is unavailable. And
not that we'd be able to talk to any of these people anyway. So it is all just sort of a theoretical availability.
I didn't want to be snippy, but I was going to ask, you know, Richard, why these people are on the list. You know, not Jim Roop, but, like... Roop is sick, but, I mean, like, why is Brian Blank continuing to be on the list if we can't talk to him?
Well, now, is it just us that...
No, I guess he's not talking to any affiliates.
Well, he might be in training.
He's on the list, though. You don't put somebody on the list when they're just right here.
Maybe he's just talking to people in New York right now.
Brian Blank is available from New York. All right.
For New York.
So they've actually got a guy there. Really, what kind of training does it take to get on the phone and just talk to idiot DJs across the country about the fact that Donald Trump is apparently not going to fire the coke-snorting, lesbian-love-having, underage-drinking Miss USA title holder? Anyway, so we'll talk about another sad passing. We will attempt to figure out why they won't let us talk to Brian Blank. Lisa Goddard will be joining, in quotes, joining us. Let's see. We'll discuss what's probably sitting on your TiVo. And I have a note about la 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 wah. Oh, yeah, who died in this year? Well, because, and this is the other thing. I should also mention this. We are, inexplicably, for not being able to talk to Aaron or do any phone calls, we're already running behind. But I should mention that much to my horror and chagrin, and I never thought that the day would come when I would announce this, but I think that we are probably going to be taking some vacation next week, which, as you know, is anathema to me, which I am loath to do. But there's going to be, Tim is going to be gone for a while. So I think Scotty said he was going to be gone, because Sarah and I are both going to be gone on Monday anyway. So I think it's reached a point where it's just, I don't think we have any option.
We don't have enough people working here.
There's just not. I mean,
we have more people in this room than more radio stations have all the time.
It's true. No, it's true.
So people have no right to
complain. No, our resources are really just going to be stretched kind of thin. Not that it's a tough job, but you do need a certain amount of people to do it. So I think next week we're actually going to be taking a little vacation time.
A whole bunch of engineers just came in here.
So a lot of things I was going to put off till next week. And as you know, if you know me, you know the happiest moment of the year is when I get to read the list of people who have died. The Dead Parade is the single happiest moment of my year.
I gave it to you yesterday.
I know, but I was going to wait till next week.
Well, plenty of time to rehearse.
We haven't done the Dead Parade in 2 years.
I know. We should do all the people that have died since the last time we got fired. The people have died just since Tim handed me the Dead Parade list yesterday. So I was going to save it till next week, but we're going to be gone next week, and by the time we get back, it'll be a new year, and new people will be dying. So I got to get to the Dead Parade, like in the next couple days. Probably I'll try to do it today. Dennis Pitzenbarger will be in the studio. Let's see what else. Oh, and we'll belatedly reveal the setup to the hairdresser punchline, which Tim and I engaged in all day yesterday, which amused no one because it was a payoff to a joke that Tim and I never bothered to set up. It's what we do here on the Rick Emerson Radio Program, exceeding and matching all expectations on a daily basis.
But during the holiday week, we will promise things and we will fulfill those promises because it's already pre-recorded and we know what's on there.
They'll be in a machine and I'll be powerless to stop it.
Right.
Although really, that's no guarantee of efficacy at this point as well.
Oh, that's true.
We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Exton. It doesn't matter if I go overtime right now. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's true, because we can't take Lisa. Well, maybe we do need to break so that the engineers can get in.
They can hold on a second. So, Sarah, how are you today?
Rick, don't be an ass.
We got to do the intro. It's on my matrix. Ask Sarah how day went.
Rick, Lisa's calling in 10 minutes. We've got to break. We've got to get started.
He's doing the same way as Aaron the Geek is.
I'm doing splendidly.
Thank you.
Chunk.
Tim Riley is working on the following stories today.
I'm just as well, thank you. And Sean Penn is calling for a Bush impeachment. Miss USA will go to rehab. Donald Trump will give her another chance. Half of a famous cartoon duo has passed away. Another pastor who worked in disgraced Ted Haggard's church. Pastor.
I barely knew her. Sorry.
Nope. He resigns over still more sexual improprieties.
All right. And Scotty is typing on the screen. The texts are on the way. They're not here yet, though. Thanks, Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Program. Really, I mean this now. The new studio... See, the irony is, the new studio will push to have a webcam so you can watch things like what just happened during the commercial break. But then, of course, in the new studio, he says, tempting fate and all the furies.
Yeah, see, I don't
this
want you...
happen.
I don't want you talking anymore.
You don't...
Because something has to get you. Every time you open your mouth, something else is destroyed.
Sound like my grandmother. You don't talk so much. You'll be more quiet. All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We'd like to thank CBS Radio engineers Jeff and Jeremy, who came in during the break and ably handled this. How long was that?
That was like, they did that in like 7 minutes.
Was that 7 minutes?
Ripped out an entire part of the computer.
You know what that was like? And totally, and literally, as we were, and we'll get to Lisa Goddard, I apologize, she's on hold here for a second. Can I drop whoever's on one? Is that a...
Yeah, that was me.
All right. Let me just say this, and we'll bring Lisa Goddard on. And do these lights seem extra bright to you? Look at that.
They really do?
That's weird.
They're happy lights.
We were coming back from the break now, and as the Christmas thing was playing, blah, blah, blah. Literally, there's like 3 seconds to go before we got to come back and be prepared to be kooky. And you heard us going into the break. There's like nothing. Phones aren't working. Yeah, the dogs and cats living together, blah, blah, blah. And so the off light, you know, the microphone light goes off, door opens, boom, like the John Goodman in Arachnophobia.
I know, there should have been some theme music playing.
Totally. They come in totally, and they're down there behind it with like clamps and cables and bifurcated and vertebrae. They're making it up 220. Just totally yelling back there, hooking things up. And you know what it was just now? Because they finished it literally with seconds to go. And normally when people say something like, just in the nick of time, it's an exaggeration. It's hyperbole. Not so. It was exactly like that scene in Jaws. It was exactly like that scene in Jaws where Quint is at the end of the bow getting ready to fire the harpoon into the shark, and Hooper's back there tying it onto the floater, and he's downstairs trying to get the tracking device that he has from when he goes on the Aurora, which is an Oceanographic Institute shark tracking ship, and he's there tying the tracker onto the barrel, and Quint says, Mr. Hooper, 3 seconds! And Hooper says, don't wait for me! And then they fire it at the last second, and just as the barrel is going, Sarah's already glazing over, but just as the barrel is going over the bow, Hooper goes, ties it, pulls his hands back, and it's done. With like half a second ago. It was just like that. It was exactly...
They're just waiting to see if you can pick up Lisa.
Seriously, I'm going to pick up Lisa now and it won't work. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired and with a head full of political truth, Lisa Goddard. How are you, sister?
Hello, political...
Oh! What's fantastic! Up? That's what I'm talking about.
Our phones
about.
Haven't been working.
That's how I roll, by which I mean others.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem, guys. God bless you.
Wow.
All right. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. I wish I had a crew of people knocking stuff around in here.
Me too. It's not
clanking
usually
and clanking.
It's often not the case here. Those guys are fantastic. And the great thing about this is, and I don't want to spend all your valuable time going on about here and crap, but the audience gets to hear us deal with what the salespeople would call technical challenges, technical hurdles, opportunities sometimes. And here's the thing. The guys who just came in to fix this, Jeff and Jeremy, they don't even work here. And when I say here, they don't even work in this building. They work at another building that's like a good hike from here. That is a pretty fair distance away. And yet we started complaining about the phones not working. And I swear to God, as soon as I turned the microphone light off to go to commercial break, it's like they boom, like kicked down the door. And they were in here fixing it. I get the feeling that they do sort of roam the city in some sort of bluesmobile vehicle. Waiting at a moment's notice. It's like I put the bat sign up in the sky, and they're immediately rappelling down through a window to try to get in here and fix this stuff. It was fantastic.
What was the Janine Garofalo, Ben Stiller superhero movie?
Oh, Mystery Men.
Yeah, like that.
But with alligator clips and like calipers and things that go boing and stuff. So good times. All right, we'll see. Because I was all ready to have Scotty. We've already had some unpleasantness. I shouldn't say unpleasantness. We've already had what is that word? Contretemps. It's a word. Anyway, we already had this kind of thing with CNN this morning. Let me just tell you this.
Is that the T-E-M-P-S word?
Yeah,
is that what you're pronouncing?
But the M is silent. Isn't it contretemps?
Right, exactly. I want to make sure we're on the same page here.
I believe so. I don't even really know what that word means. I'm just kind of making stuff up. Let me just say that we already have been on the phone with CNN today because they have this guy. What does Lisa Goddard know about Brian Blank?
Yeah, I was warned that you were curious about the Brian Blank stuff.
By whom were you warned?
Bob Costantini, of course.
Oh, I see. Okay. Bob was funny yesterday, by the way. I got to tell you.
Are you and Bob like best friends forever?
Do you sit around and do each other's hair?
We've made bracelets for each other out of string.
You've made lanyards at camp. So what did Bob say?
Bob said, yeah, you know, because I knew, I do delight, as I think you do, in knowing when I'm gone that he will be on your air.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, I said, how'd it go with Portland? Did they give you a hard time? And he said, oh, geez, those guys.
He has his own theme music now.
I know, that's what he told me that. And I said, that's great.
Hold on, we'll play it for you. This is Bob. This is the theme that we play for Bob Costantini. Go ahead and roll that.
Do you want to give the intro with it? It's kind of more powerful.
Because Bob is just so... low-key, that there's sort of an amusing dichotomy between his intro and what he actually sounds like. So I would say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, newsman extraordinaire, a journalistic firecracker, Bob Costantini. And then he comes on.
Why, hello, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And then I will throw him. I usually will throw him, and I'll admit this to you. I would deny this to Bob. Now I'll try to throw him by saying, like, Bob, how's life? Are you full of vim and vigor? And then he'll kind of pause. He'll go,
well, yes, I believe so, Rick. I'm not positive, but that might be a fair assessment of my state today. No, anyway.
Outstanding. Yes. Yeah, so then he said, hey, do you know anything about Brian Blank? Because they were asking me, and it was almost like even in just recounting the conversation, I could see sort of his furrowed forehead there because he didn't know the answer. He couldn't tell you guys. And so he was looking to me. What do you know? Who is this guy? And sadly, I have to tell you, I don't know much about him either. I know he is not at this time a full-time CNN employee. He's freelancer like Bob, but Bob is on some higher level because he is able to do the affiliate live shots. And Brian Blank apparently perhaps competing as many are in New York for that position. I don't know the deal.
So Bob is the first among equals in many ways when it comes to the part-timers. Now, what we were told, and I don't know if they misstated this, what they told us is that Brian Blank is not yet actually being allowed to talk to affiliates.
Right, that's possible. I guess, that, you know, they're probably just trying him out and seeing if he's any good.
Really? I mean, well, never mind. I don't get off on the whole thing about poor Brian Blank, who I don't even know.
Yes, I know. Blank, I know. I wish I knew about the name. I don't know about the name.
Boy, that's a great name, by the way. I mean, Brian Blank is a fantastic name. I mean, it's just, anyway. So Bob was great. We did manage to chisel a little bit of comedy out of that wry, powder-dry
yes.
soul. No, he was good. So, he's no you, of course. But then again, you know, he has his own. He's kind of carving on his own.
Yeah, exactly. He's got his own gig, yeah.
His own niche. All right, so I sometimes wonder about how to make segues into the day's news, and oftentimes there really just is no segue. Like on today, when the news, which I think surprises no one, is that, and I will read this directly off the page, it says that attacks by Iraqi insurgents and sectarian militias jumped 22%
mm-hmm.
over the last 3 months. Now, I have a lead-up question, which is NBC alone now in calling this a civil war, or is that one of those things where pretty much everybody kind of looked around and said, oh, they're doing it, well, let's all do it now?
There's still CNN. We still haven't gotten the official civil war semaphore signal from CNN yet. We're not doing that. I think we're saying, you know, some people call it a civil war, that kind of thing. The LA Times, New York Times are fully on board the civil war bandwagon.
Well, I don't wish to put you in an awkward position, but let me.
Oh, sure, you do.
I'm just saying, but I mean. Does this, do you suppose, to the casual, to the outside observer, do you believe that on paper, I mean, there is, I mean, this does meet every criteria, it would seem, to be labeled a civil war, because there are two warring groups of factions, two different cultures or sections of the country, and the conflicts between those two factions or more, but in this case two large factions, are the bulk of the majority of the fighting in the country at this time. Is that a fair assessment?
You know, I think the definition of civil war may be changing. I think this is certainly not a civil war in the sense that the United States Civil War was. You know, and that was two rivaling governments within one country. You know, two completely separate governmental entities that had been formed. And here, it's so much more chaotic. It's not that there are two sides, but there are many sides. And I think it's right to call it a guerrilla war. And I think some people can call it a civil war. I think, I'm not trying to, you know, sound like a White House spokesperson or anything, but I really think that definition is changing, and I think Iraq is changing it right now.
Is there any, at this point, are there any further details or the explanation of this, I don't want to say secret plan, but this plan that apparently is in the pipeline, as they say, to be released sometime after the holidays are over from the White House about the, quote, way forward, or is that all completely, don't they usually leak out some details about that to kind of soften up the ground beforehand?
Yeah, they often do, and we're starting to get a few stories trickling out. The Washington Post reporting today that the White House and the Pentagon Chiefs of Staff are at loggerheads, that the Chiefs of Staff apparently are opposed to the way the White House wants to, apparently, reportedly from the Washington Post, send a surge of troops to the beginning. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying they're worried about the way that the White House wants to do it. Now, this is all anonymous sources. This is all Washington Post. We have not confirmed that. But Press Secretary Tony Snow at the White House today dealt with that right away and said, listen, there are no decisions on Iraq yet. And that's why I can tell you that there is not right to say that the president has decided X when the people at the Pentagon recommend Y. That's not the case. But he did do that sort of gray area dance where he actually used the word tonally. It's not correct to say. So indicating that something about the tone in the Post report was not set off. But to your question, I think the answer is that they haven't decided yet, and that's why we don't know exactly what they're doing. But it does seem that they are leaning or at least very seriously looking at this short-term surge of troops in Iraq, hoping that that would stabilize things, and then from there they could withdraw down the road. But, you know, a lot of questions about that, a lot of people who are very opposed to it, some people who say it's the answer.
And just as a side note here, before we wrap things up, did you see the, because I think you were off maybe for part of this, or you were not right, but did you see the piece in U.S. News and World Reports last week where they were GOP officials, who of course did not want to be named, they say that the GOP fears that the Clinton-Obama, the Clinton-Barack ticket would be, quote, unbeatable?
Yes, I did. I know of what you speak, yes. But, you know, it's tricky, though. There are some people that I talk to in the Republican Party who think that would be a phenomenal ticket. In fact, they think any ticket that has Hillary Clinton on it is almost their dream ticket, although Barack Obama really does change the mix for them, and it's definitely a tougher. They admit that any ticket with him on it is a lot tougher for them in some ways.
Do they figure that more people boil it down to this way? Do they figure there's just more loathing for Hillary Clinton in the country than there is loathing for the GOP?
Yes.
All right. Well,
that's the game they're playing. But who knows? Anything can happen in the next year. It all depends on how she plays her cards, how they play theirs.
Absolutely. All right. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. And are you on the rest of this week?
I'm in the rest of this week, my brother.
Fantastic. All right. We will speak to you in the near future. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. Bye.
Right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Excellent. How great was the engineering staff just now, though? We really have to talk about that.
Yeah, that was really
impressive. Went to a break, and seriously, they just completely...
Aren't they down at the other building, too?
Throw me the idol. I throw you the whip. No, that's what I'm saying. They don't work here.
Yeah.
They work...
just materialized.
They work like a mile away. So I get the feeling that literally they, like, ran and slid down a pole, like, into a waiting truck or something, and then they just sped down here. And you have no idea. They, like, pulled out a huge... I don't know what they had to fix. Because I wouldn't understand it even if they explained it to me. But during that one break, they tested the phones. They pulled out some huge piece of equipment. They found a replacement piece of equipment somewhere in the bowels of the building. Ran it up here. Put it in. It really is like the guy in the film who, you know, the big timer on the bomb says, like, three,
two. Oh, no, not another
two.
Film.
You know it's true, though, and the guy's like, you know, the timer's ticking down, and the guy's got to choose between, you know, the white wire and the green wire, and at the last minute he picks it, and then the timer stops it at one, and then he goes and kisses Sandra Bullock, and then everybody lives happily ever after. That's exactly what it was like, all in the space of one commercial break. And that is why others fear them. They shall march on a road of bones to victory. Fantastic. We should break. It's 503. Well, don't you think it's a natural stopping point?
Sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll get to the noon news hour with Tim Riley. I'm just saying, rather than going phenomenally overtime, this seems like a good opportunity. It seems like a natural.
Very proud of you.
Seems like a natural place for a beat, for a rest. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Stay there.